Since the beginning of time, man battles questions as to how to survive this crazy world we live in, and only God has the answers to all men's questions. Come travel the roads that leads us to the cross.
To begin this series of crossroads, a foundation has been laid in the Scriptures that all roads will take us to paths that lead us to the cross for our growing in grace and knowledge. All growth in the body of Christ is not an easy task, and really none but the hungry hearts will press on to know the full measure of the Father's heart. But the quest must be undertaken by all with a specific purpose or goal for spiritual understanding and righteousness and the pursuit of God's will. These studies are to help us appropriate the full measure so that we will be lacking in nothing. Now, to accomplish our quest, the Bible commands us to know our Father God, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and His plan for all of eternity. The Spirit of God will guide us as we wait on Him. Now, a passage that is of particular importance in this quest is found in Philippians 3:9-16, where it says, "Be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith." And then these words need to be solemnly listened to, "that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." What does that mean? Well, let's go on. From Philippians 3, in verse 12, it tells us that not that I've already attained or I'm already perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself as to have apprehended, but one thing I do, the main focus, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. Whenever you see those words, in Jesus Christ, through Christ, by Christ, to Christ, those are the words that denote to us our position of where we get our source of strength for all things. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of same mind. And when we come together and we find we are not of the same mind, there's differing views, differing opinions, we need to recognize that we are on a maturing road, and not everyone will be at the same place on that road at the same time. Therefore, we are to love one another in patient understanding and be willing to deal with one another from that perfect heart of God's love. Now, the passage that we're discussing today particularly and practically explains the vision of someone who has the motive and the desire to live according to the will of God. The points that we want to hide in our heart may be summarized as follows. Point A is the cross is the central focus to who we are and how we live. And in verse 9, it is every matter is found in Him. Hear those words. By faith in Christ. All things are found in Him. Yes, I am stressing those two words today. In Him, by Him, through Him, to Him. Now, let's go on to the next point. The quest of a solid foundation is always found in the Bible based on facts by faith. Again, in verse 9, it says, knowing our position in Christ is vital for the security in trusting Father God with the plan through His Son, Jesus Christ. The security of being in Him gives our souls comfort to pursue the challenges that a hungry heart must have to endure to the end. Verse 10 says, that I may know Him. Now stop and think. How do you trust someone you don't really know? Will not doubt creep in and bring confusion and contentions? We must not get sidetracked with many good deeds and miss the calling to every one of us, whether it's individually or whether it's corporately. Verse 12 says, not that I have it all together, but I press on. This is a daily living. This is not once in a while. This is every day. This is our focus. Now, to focus on what we are pressing on to, we must let go of past failures, opinions, remembering where we have been told to forget, and then not to forget what we are told to remember. Knowing the difference is maturity and making the expression of a very complex phrase. The point of departure is the point of return. In verse 13, we go back to where we first accepted Jesus Christ on the cross for trusting Him for our salvation as a free gift. And we are to move on to there in our growth. However, many of us do not stay on a forward path. We start to get sidetracked, distracted, take a detour, go someplace where we should not. And then we result in many problems, failures, perplexities, frustrations. And so then we need to always stop and think about returning to where all began, and it began at the cross in the salvation of Jesus Christ giving us eternal life as a free gift. So many times we must go back to where we have been cycling and go back to the simplicity to when we knew that we needed to have Jesus Christ as our Lord. And many times we don't recognize He is Lord, especially if you've accepted Him as an early child. But the fact is, the Lord looks at the heart and He knows whether it's a 5-year-old or a 25-year-old. And He is faithful to them. We must remember that when we are perplexed, there is a point of departure that we must find to go back so that we can reestablish our solidity in what Jesus Christ has already accomplished. Now, if this portion of Scripture is listened to, walked through, experienced in our daily walk, then our living will not be in vain. Verse 14 says, pressing on for the upward call, then our living will not be in vain. Now let's stop and think for just a moment about what is in vain. We are never to judge as the Father does, because Jesus Christ, God the Father, are the only ones that can correctly judge, release us from condemnation and hopelessness. And Jesus Christ will sit on the throne one day, giving and requiring a full account of each life. So what do we do until we wait to see him? Well, even though we're not to judge according as God has done, we are commanded to discern in all matters, and the object of discernment is to find unity in keeping the body in the same heart and mind. Knowing the value and love the Trinity gives to each one brings joy and peace in all we are and do. In verse 15 and 16, we are told, "Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. If in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, and let us be of the same mind." Listeners, it is so vital that we have the heart that wants to search out and be of the same mind. Will we have the same opinions on every little jot and tittle? Probably not, because we're all on different roads at different times, growing in grace and knowledge. But let's go look at 1 Corinthians 15:14. And in that verse it says, "And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is vain, empty, and your faith is also vain and empty." And verse 17 adds that if Christ is not risen, then your faith is in vain, futile. You're still in your sins. How important and imperative is it to know him and the power of his resurrection via the cross. Then going back to Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, it ties that same word together when it says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory." And how about practically applying those words to, say, selfish ambition or conceit? "But in lowliness of mind, let us esteem others better than himself." Now, sometimes people are not walking in a walk to where you can esteem them very greatly in their actions and attitude, but that's where we need to be able to discern, are they truly in the family of God? And God will show us those things as we wait on him. In Colossians 2:18, it says, "Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and the worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." This is a great warning to those who sometimes want to promote the worship of angels. We do have examples of angels ministering to us and how one day we will work with them, but angels are never to be worshiped. And if we try to make that a doctrine of scriptures, we are vainly puffed up in our fleshly mind, according to Colossians 2:18. Now, James is a wonderful book in the Bible, and it does call us into accountability in many different ways. And in James 1:26, it says, "If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue or her tongue, deceives their own heart. And this one's religion is useless or in vain. Listen to the words of the conversation. And if in talking with someone, there are too many me, myself, and I, their source in thinking is of themselves. And beware, your spirit should get a check. When you have conversations with other people that may have some challenges, listen for their conversation. Are they always defending their actions and their words? And then if they are called into accounting, do you find those people then are able to somehow transfer the blame to somebody else or something else? It's like it's never their fault. Then carrying on, we go to Titus 3:9. And it tells us, avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and striving about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain or useless. Now stop and think about how many people get carried away in foolish disputes, what they believe, what they've seen, what they saw, genealogies of the history of the Old Testament, which is beautiful. But if we make the genealogies a final authority of who and what we are, we're probably not properly applying the Word of God correctly. And contentions. That word contentions encompasses so many things where the body of Christ lives and should not. This can happen to Christians as they choose to live in the intellectualism of head knowledge. Now, lest we get on our high horse and think we're going to fix everybody, let's remember what 2 Timothy 2:24 says. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. This is so easy to fall into when we are in a world that bombards us, implants their thinking into the heart and mind of a Christ-like child if we are not guarding our hearts daily. But we must always remember that we must not quarrel. Some traditions say we must not strive. So we don't need to argue. But when we don't understand someone's thinking, why not stop and ask them a simple question? Why do you think that way? Help me understand your way of thinking, and then see how they will support it from the scriptures, and the Lord will show you where to agree, learn perhaps from them, or know how to gently correct those who are in opposition. This is not something that we're going to perfect overnight. This is why we are growing in grace and knowledge. Now, in speaking earlier about never judging as God, as He's the only true judge, Matthew 7:3-5 reminds us of the danger of crossing over the path where we many times believe we're on the straight and narrow way. We've got it together. But we should remember that there is a illustration that can affect our thinking. And it's about the beam and the mote. If we have a beam in our eyes, something significant, we will not be able to deal properly with a mote in somebody else's eye. A mote is like a small fleck or flaw reflecting some minor fault in another person's life. whereas the beam is like a significant shortcoming in our own life. And if we try to transfer blame to others all the time, then it's usually because the log or the beam in our eye is affecting how we see the mote in another person's eyes. We have it kind of reversed or upside down. Now, this issue can be highly dangerous, this simplicity of the mote and the beam, when we are talking about maintaining unity in the church, where attention on self and benefits are a priority. So this issue is addressed in Philippians 2:3, and it falls under self-ambition or conceit, vainglory. We are to remember that the Scripture has given us where we need to focus on what we need to think about, and that is in Philippians 4, where I'm quoting from the Amplified Bible. It says, "Finally, believers, whatever is honorable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things. Center your mind on them and implant them in your heart." When the things that we have been talking about that cause contention, strife, genealogies, worshiping of angels, any place where we can get sidetracked in knowing Jesus Christ, God the Father, as our all in all, we should have memorized Philippians 4:8 and immediately go, where is my thought process going? Is it going to those things that are true, those things that are just, pure, lovely, good report? That's where my thinking needs to be. That is where the virtue lies, and that is where the praiseworthy will come forth from our mouth. And then you know what? Our tongue will probably not be a problem. If you're constantly speaking of the things that brings pleasure and understanding from God the Father and Jesus Christ, your tongue may not speak as much or as often, but when it does speak, it will bring comfort and peace to the soul that hears it. Ephesians 1:17 states by Paul that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? Paul's prayer for the Ephesians doesn't really contain anything new, but rather for God to reveal Himself to them. Paul goes on praying that the eyes of our understanding, our hearts, would be open to know. Now that word know in the Greek has a deep personal and intimate relationship. This is not just some intellectual knowledge. Too many today are happy to just have informational facts and agree upon those without any heart change. The scary part is the devil and the demons know the Bible better than a lot of believers, but never accept the knowledge in a relationship. And why do they never conform if they know? Because they are at war with the true God.
You have been listening to Crossroads with Janie Ratzlaff. For more resources, go to SharedHearts.com. www.crossroads.org/crossroads.